Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to the Following On podcast. I'm John Norman, and today bringing you a special show. We go back to day one of the recent test series between West Indies and England, the first test match, and the first time that these two proud cricketing nations of sorts had come together to battle it out for the Richards Botham Trophy. Today's show will be a lunchtime feature which took place on that day. Neil Manthorpe joined by the cricket writer Jarrod Kimber and also the head coach at Surrey, Gareth Batty. Looking back at the career of Sir Viv and Lord Botham. So sit back and enjoy as we bring you this Following On podcast.
Special feature during the lunch break now is a reminder for those who weren't aware that on the eve of this test series, it was announced that the long-standing Wisden Trophy would be retired to be replaced by a new trophy named after two of the greatest cricketers ever produced. Actually, I was going to say by either region, by England or the Caribbean, but they are just two of the greatest cricketers. So the new trophy will forever be, or unless somebody even better comes along, but I doubt that'll happen, it will forever from now on be known as the Botham Richards Trophy that these two teams are playing for. They are two massive characters in the game, and their longevity has extended well beyond their playing years, and with such enormous figures and such brilliant players, it's almost always not about the statistics. So I'm going to get them out of the way for any of our younger listeners who aren't aware of just how brilliant and how great the two players were. Both played over 100 test matches. Lord Ian Botham, as he is now, was one of the greatest all-rounders of all time. 102 test matches, 5,200 runs, and an average that is not particularly eye-catching, but his performances were 33.5, 14 hundreds, a higher score of 208. Apart from that, he was at one time the world's leading wicket-taker with 383 he finished with at an average of 28.4. And Vivian Richards, Sir Isaac Vivian Alexander Richards, played 121 test matches, 8,500 runs, just over 8,500 runs, at an average of 50.23, 24 hundreds, 45 fifties, and he had an extraordinary one-day career as well, over 6,500 runs at an average of 47, also with 11 hundreds and 45 fifties. Statistically, two of the greatest cricketers, and as characters and legends and inspirations of the game, also two of the greatest. Jarrod Kimber.
Yeah, it's very interesting that they went with these two players, because the most obvious player would have been Leary Constantine, who obviously was a great West Indian player, probably, if not their first great, then probably their second great player after George Headley. And he went on to be an incredibly important person in British society as a politician, and I think he was a solicitor as well, wasn't he? So he was very much involved with these. So it does tell you the impact that Viv Richards and Ian Botham had to be able to pip out Larry Constantine, who's probably had almost everything else named after him by this point, I would have thought, in his career. But that peak from, what, 77 to 82, 83, when Botham was at his absolute best and when Viv Richards sort of exploded onto the scene, they were by far the two biggest cricket stories in the world. And that includes players like Lilly and Tomo. You know, there were some incredible players around the world. Sunil Gavaskar was playing at that point. But I think at that moment, Ian Botham and Viv Richards were just on a completely different level to anyone else. So off his first... his first 51 tests, Ian Botham was averaging 38 with the bat and 23 with the ball. Like, that's what you do if you make a player up on a computer video game. That's the sort of numbers they end up with. And Botham start, I mean, just everywhere you go, he had 8 5-wicket hauls in his first 11 games, and he took 100 wickets in his first 19 tests. Just phenomenal. He also, he scored 6 hundreds very early on as well. Players like that just don't come along very often. Sadly, that Botham couldn't keep that up. I don't think anyone could probably keep those numbers up, but he couldn't keep it up. Viv Richards is different, and Viv Richards is incredible. And if you want to know why people keep talking about him, I think he's almost more remembered for one-day cricket, although he's obviously an all-time great in Test cricket. He still has the 10th highest strike rate in one-day cricket of 90. And I'm just going to read you some names here of players who have a lower strike rate than Viv Richards. Rohit Sharma, MS Dhoni, Ricky Ponting, Martin Guptill, Yuvraj Singh and Chris Gayle have a lower strike rate in one days than he did. And in his time, the strike rate in one day cricket was 66 on average, and he was scoring at 90. He really was playing a different sport than everyone else, Viv Richards.
Gareth Batty, you know, you're going to wonder where I'm going with this now. So Vivian Richards just turned 70. Lord Botham is 65. And it's a mark of how long they managed to extend their careers and how young you were when you played and how long you played for that you just missed overlapping their careers by 4 and 5 years. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing because I wouldn't have had a career if I'd have had to go up against those guys. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it takes me back to an era of my life that it's been a kid and the fond memories that you have of being a kid. And I just, everything was about Botham, the Duncan Fernley attack. Everything was about him. And then it was the 1992 World Cup where he was opening the batting. And Alex Stewart was obviously a hero of mine then and now. And Graham Gooch, you know, it was all the names that just roll off the tongue as a young man growing up watching England. They were the legends. They had bats named after them. The whole shebang. It was the aura of Botham. It was always, always married up with some opposition players. And Viv Richards, you need to look no further. Name a kid that grew up in the late 70s, 80s, 90s that didn't try and put his front foot across to extra cover and whip it over square leg. Most kids still try and do it now and get out. I mean, we're talking about guys that changed the face of how we now even look at cricket. And Viv is 70. So imagine 40 years ago, he's still setting the trends now. If you've got some YouTube video, so if there's a kid out there listening that wants to be an absolute jet 2020 player, play all franchise stuff, have a look at this fella. Look at his centre mass, his balance, and then look at his strikes. I mean, this fella, wow, absolute game changer.
I think before Viv Richards, we'd had batters who played across the line, obviously. I mean, Bradman did and Victor Trumper did. Like, it's not like he invented it, but he weaponized it in a completely different way. And so, you know, the memories of people bowling off stump and outside off stump and him just attacking everywhere from mid on to deep backward square, right? He could basically hit the ball wherever he wanted to with power. And also the way he came at the bowlers, it was really a form of attack, and it came out of a very defensive era, right? Sobers played and there was a couple of attacking players, you know, but Boycott and Gavaskar, those were the stars, right? And then you watch Richards and everything he did was attacking the bowlers rather than the other way around. And that just hadn't existed before. He still has the third high. I didn't even mention this before. He still has the third highest strike rate of any a top scorer in Test match cricket. He's just behind Warner and Sehwag.
But you cast your mind back to, was it 81 at Old Trafford where Viv Richards single-handedly beat England? He got 180.
So the West Indies, just to put this into context, there's a 3-match Texaco Trophy series. And England have got the West Indies on their knees. They were 100
six down for 50 or something.
No, they were 130 for 9 when Michael Holding strolled out to join Viv Richards at the crease, and it was game over. Who, I mean, in those in those days, who comes back from 135 for 9?
I mean, there was a video back in the day. So I mean, anybody that's younger than 20, you might stop listening now, because I'm talking about videos which you won't even know what they are. There was a thing called A View from the Box, and it showed this 180 and some of the shots that Sir Vivian played, you know, against Botham in his pomp, Neil Foster in his pomp. He's walking across outside of Stump and hitting them miles. This was before Old Trafford was developed over square leg. Then he's actually backing away and hitting with a straight back out of the ground into the trams and all everything else that was outside the stadium over long off. This wasn't sort of slogging that potentially we talk about in T20 cricket or innovative. This was just a man at the peak of his powers who played proper cricket shots, almost turned a defensive shot into a ball that went out of the ground. And we kind of forget the simplicity of it, but actually how hard it was. I remember being on a cricket tour, I probably said this before, down Western Supermare or something. We went to watch a game. Somerset were playing, somebody else, can't even remember. Garner, Botham, Richards, all three playing. They waited, and I'm not joking, it was almost a ring twice around the county ground down at Taunton of kids waiting to have everything signed. They signed every single one. And whilst I could see, you know, 100 kids back, they spoke to every kid. Oh, what do you do? Are you a fast boy? And that will always sit with me. And that is why, as much as anything else, that is why they're complete legends of the game.
They were not without their moments of controversy. Lord Botham probably endured a few more than his great friend. And they are and have been for half a century very, very close friends, or at least 40 years. Ian Botham was made Sir Ian Botham for the charity walks that he undertook. He raised millions of pounds, and now he's got a seat in the House of Lords. Viv Richards too. There were moments of controversy in his career. There was a test series against England when he was felt to have intimidated the umpire into giving a couple of decisions. He ran from second slip. Anyway, he was. So the fact that they are where they are now and honoured and revered should perhaps also be remembered by young players who take a step in the wrong direction from time to time.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the whole, we talk about genius being flawed, I'm not sure I'm going down that route, but I think competitors and people that want to win, they will overstep the line from time to time. And they will always put their hand up and say, okay, I might have got that wrong. Or they'll go, actually, I won, I don't care. It's about winning, and those guys wanted to win, and they were the guys that set the standards, and we're still following now how the game is played and how we want to play the game. So for me, you take the odd little bit of the negative to take the whole positive of what they brought to our wonderful sport, and you know, hats off to the men, and I'll probably go home tonight and watch some YouTube videos of them both batting and bowling.
It's worth it. If you've never seen Viv Richards, I think maybe almost the best place to start is the documentary Fire in Babylon, because that's basically a movie about him. It does mention the fast bowlers, obviously, because that's part of it, but it really is centered around him and his personality, and almost to a detriment to players like Michael Holding. They almost get left behind in that particular documentary, but you realize the effect that he had on people around the world, and he felt that he was using his bat as almost like a political weapon. You know, it was a racial thing, a regional thing that Viv Richards was using. There was a certain passion behind him, and not to mention, I forget the name of the player, you might remember, Manus, that he went into the I think it was into the Australian change room and choked out a player who had racially abused him on the field well before that was a sort of a normal reaction to those sorts of things. So you know, a real warrior in what he believed. And Botham was, you know, I suppose in some ways a similar figure to Shane Warne, in that massively famous, not just in his own country. You know, Botham to this day is huge in Australia as well. And, you know, often was brought back to commentate in series well after anyone in Australia sort of had remembered watching him. And again, one of those people who was a celebrity, not just a cricketer, like well beyond just a normal celebrity, wasn't he? There's that great YouTube video of him talking to the Scottish students. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Manus, but it is one of the greatest accidental comedy moments of all time. But he was a celebrity so far beyond cricket in a point, probably England's last true cricket celebrity outside of cricket, although Freddie's giving it a good go with all of his Sky programs and everything.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's, what I find fascinating is that Viv Richards' father is almost never mentioned. Malcolm Richards was Antigua's leading fast bowler. And it occurs to me that, you know, it's a yet another example, and you have come from a rich cricketing family yourself, Bats, and it is a kind of family legacy type thing, isn't it? If you grow up with cricket, you are far more likely to end up in it and being successful. It
becomes part of your DNA. It's almost your education in life, and then you put other life experiences in to hopefully, I suppose... make you better within the sport that has been, you're almost bred into it. You're like a racehorse. You're bred into cricket and you live and breathe it. Yes, you follow other sports and all these sorts of a thing, but it's something in you that will always be there. It'll never go away. And your whole family buys into it.
Is it genetic? Because Liam Botham plays...
I played with Liam as a kid under 13s, under 15s.
Right, yeah. And he played professional rugby and cricket for Hampshire. Yep. And now... Liam's son is an international, James. Welsh international.
Yeah, wonderful. I think on Liam's side, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. If you're listening, Liam, apologies if I do. He was a very talented young cricketer, but at that point, he was such a young man. He was always going to live in his father's sort of shadow, as it were. And I think he felt that, even as a youngster, he felt that. His dad had come and watched some under 13, under 15 games, and literally the whole attention, the whole game, nobody watched a ball out on the field. They were just watching what Sir Ian was doing by his car on his deck chair and stuff, just trying to watch his son play cricket. Amazing stuff. But I think Liam decided at sort of about 17, 18, he'd been down at Hampshire a little bit and was going okay. He'd made his debut. I think he even got 5 on debut bowling. He was an all-rounder like his father, maybe not as quick, but could bat. And rugby was an option for him. He'd been a pretty good rugby player at school, and he made that decision that was kind of the path he was going to go down because he just didn't need that extra baggage that came with being Ian Botham's son. And he was a wonderful sportsman in his own right, but we're talking about the legend that follows you around constantly. It's Peter Pan. The shadow is always there. You can't get away from that.
Well, Don Bradman's son changed his surname, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that was part of for a similar reason. It's also worth talking about when you talk about, you know, Liam playing two professional sports. Ian Botham, of course, was also on the level of... He was probably one of the last England international cricketers who, played two different professional sports as well. So, again, and you see that a lot with the all-rounders. Like, we could kind of throw Ben Stokes or Jason Holder into a couple of different sports and probably even someone like Ravi Jadeja. A lot of the all-rounders are... They're just special athletes, aren't they? And I think that's probably why when we talk about the start of Botham's career so much is because he did fall off when his athleticism sort of waned towards the end of his career. But when it was young and he was in his peak, he could kind of do whatever he wanted to do on the cricket field. And there aren't too many people who have ever done that.
A question for you, Jared. A couple of weeks ago, you made a very entertaining and well-researched video, which I think was slightly tongue-in-cheek, about a T20 11 from yesteryear. And my question is, neither Richards nor Botham made it into your fantasy alternative yesteryear T20 11.
Wait a minute.
What is going on here?
I said that what I was trying to do is not do the obvious players. I did actually put Viv Richards in my T20 11. I don't think Botham did make it, though. There's a. Do you know one of my favourite Botham stories? It's something so random. I'm not sure if you've ever been...
Don't get off the subject. How in God's name did they not get in it?
Because the idea was to use players who weren't known. Boycott was in it, for instance. Who obviously
not known? Are you having a giraffe?
Who obviously wouldn't normally be in that that kind of a video. But there is a great... I'm trying to think of the ground in India. I think it might be Nagpur. It has a bunch of posters of great old players up. And it's got Ian Botham there. And it says, one of the world's greatest ever all-rounders. Although, strangely, not very good at one-day cricket. Which I thought was an incredible thing to do with a poster where you're actually talking about what an incredible player he was. But having said that, the one time he took one-day cricket seriously, when his career was almost over, he still did brilliantly in that 92 World Cup. So you can imagine what he would have done in that era. And I would say Viv Richards is probably one of the few players who did take one-day cricket seriously. And it could have just been that he was so naturally gifted at it, he just did that. But there weren't that many players in the 70s and 80s who took it as seriously
as Viv. I'm giving you a 30-second shot at redemption. How would they have done in T20 cricket?
Well, okay, so what was AB de Villiers' strike rate? About 155?
Yeah, 154 or something.
Yeah, so I would have thought that Viv would have probably been just over 160, and he would have bowled what, an over and a half a game, and been he would have gone from mid on to mid on, long on to long on with the field. Incredible fielding when it comes to running people out. Both of them, you probably either use him as a pinch hitter early on, or he would have been a really good 5 and 6, and he probably bowls with the new ball, doesn't he, and comes back on at the death. I don't think there's many if with both of them skill set. Probably could have done, you know, written his own check in T20 cricket. The ability to hit sixes. I think Viv Richards still has the 10th most sixes in Test cricket history now as well. Viv Richards, if you look at Viv Richards and AB de Villiers compared to any other one-day players in the history of the game, they're that much above everyone else that they played against. And Viv is even more removed than AB de Villiers was. So you would assume that he would have been on that level.
Stories of both men enjoying life off the field, that's abound. And of course, with time, they inevitably become exaggerated. But I think it's fair to say that there probably hasn't, it's probably not possible to over exaggerate Sir Lord Ian Botham's love of life away from the game.
Yeah, he certainly has an appetite for life, and that's part of the aura that comes with him. You know, it's part of the thing that other people feel, oh, can I do this? Yeah, I'm going to do it because I'm going to enjoy my life. And I'm going to, and then when I get on the field, yeah, I'm going to do this because I can. They're not as inhibited as certain people find themselves restricted and they feel like, oh, I can't do that. No, I can do it. I'm going to give it a go. And I think that's why we love watching these sorts of players, because the game is never done. You know, Richards, 130 odd for 9. Everybody else is saying, oh, can you scrape through to 160 and give your bowlers a chance? He's going, no, I'm going to get 189 not out.
They made 280 from that position.
And one of the highest scores ever.
Michael Holding came in at number 11 and they added 120 for the 10th wicket and he walked off 12 not out.
Just phenomenal. And I think this is the reason why these guys are so great, are so brilliant. There needs to be a zest for life with that sort of player. I think we have to take some of the other stuff with a pinch of salt and appreciate the spectacle that they give us on the field, I think.
I think as much as anything, it's probably worth... They were obviously skilled on another level and both incredible athletes as well. But I think it's remembering the competitiveness that both of them had. You know, Richards ended up almost being an all-rounder, despite the fact that he was a fairly ordinary bowler. But He would be in your face as a bowler because you were facing Viv Richards. He was also a brilliant fielder, especially in one-day cricket. And Ian Botham took 120 slips catches, which I still think is one of the best percentages that anyone's ever taken as far as... And would field, what, about a metre and a half closer? Like he was goading the guy to edge to him.
Yeah, and that's sometimes from, you know, if the rumours are true, after a good few gallon the night before.
Perhaps
it's pretty incredible that you still catch him.
Not the best preparation, you say.
Not now, no, absolutely not. You can't do it now. But back then, it was part of the legend that is Sir Ian Botham.
Very quickly, we've got it wrapped now, but we all know it's impossible for an individual to win a test match. An individual can perhaps win a T20 game, and it takes two or three individuals perhaps to win an ODI game. You can't win a test match. But there is an entire series named after Lord Botham, Botham's Ashes in 1981, and we haven't mentioned it. I mean, that was the... I can safely say that I would not be sitting here if it wasn't for that, because I would have been 14. I was absolutely taken. You know, England were losing the Ashes, and he, well, you can't say single-handedly, because Bob Willis took 8 for 43. But what a series. It still lives bright in my memory.
And I think it was Graham Dilley that got 49 or something, batting with, that smashed him. and it was kind of batting with Botham made him feel 10 foot taller than he actually was and climbed into the Aussie bowlers. Yes, Botham started it all and he was magnificent and that was his great gift. But he took the catches. He made other people around him feel 10 feet taller and I think that was part of his gift.
Right, that is our thoughts on Sir Vivian Richards and Lord Ian Botham. After whom the new trophy between these test match trophy between these two regions and countries will be named.
Well, that's it for another edition of Following On. Thanks for listening. And if you ever have any ideas for guests or have questions for the likes of Steve Harmison or Neil Manthorpe, feel free to tweet me at Fulham John or via at @cricket_TS. And either I or one of the team will make sure your questions are read out on the show at the earliest convenience. Also, please take the time to leave a review. And if you're already a subscriber, then tell your mates to do the same. And if you want more content from the likes of Steve Harmison, then head over to his YouTube channel and tell him I sent you. Thanks for listening to Following On.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.